Greetings in Christ, I'm Pastor James Baumgartner. The New Testament reading for today is from Galatians 3, 1-22. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it was those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise has been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the Scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Every one of us has received the look. You know, when you do something that another person disagrees with, and before you know it, their brows furrow and their gaze somehow fixes deep past your own eyes and somehow pierces your soul. Spouses do it to each other. Parents and children do it to each other. Coworkers, friends, enemies, random strangers. It's the stink eye, a hostile glare. The evil eye that somehow feels strong enough to disrupt all of your emotions and set you aback. There's power in the eyes. Human beings have always known this to be true. They're the windows to your heart or to your soul. You've probably heard that before. And that way of thinking has been around for quite some time. In fact, ancient peoples, like the Greeks, often believed that casting the evil eye on someone actually carried something of a spell or a curse along with it. As if you could actually injure a person with your eyes, or even worse, afflict them with a malady or a disease of a lifetime of problems, simply by staring at them with that evil eye. And I mention this because of verse 1 in our text. Paul's writing a letter to the church of Galatia, and in chapter 3 he famously says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" But tucked underneath the vocabulary of the Greek word for bewitched is the evil eye. O foolish Galatians, who has cast the evil eye upon you? And of course, along with that evil eye, the curse associated with it. In this case, the curse of returning to salvation by works, as opposed to salvation by the grace of God alone. Paul makes the case that Abraham was not saved by works of the law, nor was the original covenant ever even based on works of the law. It was based on faith alone. It was purely the grace of the Lord which spoke a promise into Abraham's life, and purely the faith of Abraham to believe which was credited to him as righteousness. And Paul brings the Galatians into the same story. He says, "Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" Why are you, who were saved by this grace of Jesus, now relying on the law? What's the matter with you? Why would you choose to live under the curse of the law instead of the free gift that comes to you through Jesus Christ? For the righteous live by faith. That's it. Don't add or subtract from it. Don't change it. Don't question it. Just live it. Live by faith. For it was before your eyes, he says in verse 1, that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Don't succumb to the evil eye of false teachers with their curses of law. Instead, fix your eyes to the blessings of Jesus Christ on the cross with his grace. For Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, it is written. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So with eyes on Jesus, the blessing of Abraham comes to the Gentiles. It comes to you and I today, and it makes us children of God by promise, by faith, adopted into a family according to the covenant that Jesus alone fulfills for us. And so, friends in Christ, look away from your own good works. Look instead to the good work of Christ crucified. The world and the powers of darkness cast their evil eye upon him as he himself bore our sins, and under that very curse he died. But God has risen this Jesus from the grave, and the curse is no more. Don't return to it then. The promise of salvation has been given to all who believe, all who fix their gaze upon the crucified and risen Savior. From the cursed tree of the cross comes the eternal blessings of our Lord. We pray. Almighty and merciful God, by your gift alone, your faithful people render true and laudable service. Help us steadfastly to live in this life according to your promises, and finally attain your heavenly glory. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.